Conversations from Hour 2 of our Bike to Work Day live stream, next on Loving the Springs, where we celebrate the best of Manitou and Colorado Springs and elevate the rest.
This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
Hi, I'm Dave Gardner, Chief Podcast Wrangler at Studio 809 Podcasts. We're a collective of podcasters here in the Pikes Peak region committed to having local residents who are better informed and more engaged. You know, most of us volunteer our time. Nobody's really earning any wages working on these podcasts. This is a gift to the community. And one way you can say thank you is to become a patron, providing a little support to help us cover our expenses. You can easily do that by heading over to studio809podcasts.com and clicking on the patron button in the upper right corner. Thanks so much for supporting community. You'll hear from the co-hosts of a new Studio 809 podcast and the CEO of the Downtown Partnership in this episode, plus a few other important bicycling advocates. This episode is from the second hour of our live stream from the Studio 809 podcast's Bike to Work Day breakfast station on the front patio at the Next Us. Bike to Work Day happened June 24th across the state of Colorado. Over 250 breakfast stations for bike commuters were hosted by good-hearted groups and businesses to promote ditching the car and experiencing the joy of bicycling to work. We're sharing the conversations we had.
Good morning and welcome to Bike to Work Day.
Yes, this has been such an amazing morning. Even though we're out here early, we're seeing lots and lots of people coming by and actually getting their food and riding off.
So tell us a little bit about your podcast.
We're going to start off with Spotlight El Paso County, and Tiona, who is our UCCS student, will be talking about who we are and what we're doing here and why it's so important that we have this spotlight.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning, Tiona.
I am a student at UCCS, and I'm with Spotlight on El Paso County, a podcast that is dedicated to highlighting the voices, businesses, and stories that truly shape our community. And one thing I've learned is that there are so many incredible people doing meaningful, impactful work right here, but not nearly enough visibility for them. So that's where our podcast comes in. Spotlight on El Paso County is about creating space for those voices to be heard. And whether it's a small business owner or creative or leaders or everyday people making a difference in the quiet but powerful ways. So for me, this isn't just about storytelling at this point. It's about connection and how we can come together. It's about making sure people in our community feel seen, feel heard, and supported. So we prioritize wellness and we want to take time to connect. So if you're here today and you have a story or a business or a mission or even know someone who deserves to be in the spotlight, come find us, and we'd love to feature you guys next on our podcast. So let's continue to build our community where every voice matters, every story counts, and no impact in our community goes unseen.
To add to that, it's something that we deeply care about because our community is full of potential. That's one thing we don't hear about a lot in our community. Actually, here in the United States right now is the potential that we have. There's much growth that's happening in El Paso County, and with the growth comes opportunity. So opportunity for people to step into their purpose, to build something meaningful, and to be recognized for the impact they're making. We truly believe that every story strengthens our community because when people feel seen and heard, it creates a deeper sense of belonging. And I know Tiona knows exactly what I'm stating because as a student, she's coming into her own through this podcast, recognizing that there's so much more to give.
So it's Bike to Work Day, and we're talking about podcasts. So, do you ever ride your bike to UCCS?
Unfortunately, no. I live too far.
Okay.
I actually commute. Where I'm at, there is no sidewalk or bike lane, so it actually is pretty dangerous. So I'm worried I might get hit before I make it to school, so I'd rather just drive. And even on campus, it is a little difficult to ride your bike. There's a lot of dismounting and mounting back up and finding somewhere to park your bike because sometimes it could be overflowed. But yeah, I wish I could.
No problems with parking, right?
Ha! Yes, there are so many problems with parking, but that's above my pay grade. I'm going to wait till it's time for me to vote on it.
So that's where a bike can come in, is that last mile.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much you're paying for parking, but that's part of the algebra of I'm not going to pay for parking. I'm going to buy this bike instead. And I know at some campuses, it's over $1,000 a year park. So all of a sudden, the math starts making some sense if you can avoid every day going to classes by car.
Riding with
I will use almost any excuse to buy another bike. So I like that. That parking costs too much. I need another bike.
There you go.
Take it.
I like that.
Lynn, if you think about it, because I grew up in the 60s and 70s, that was our mode of transportation. You either walked or you rode a bike. And didn't matter how far, 6 miles, 10 miles, you were riding your bike to get to school or roller rink or any of those activities.
Tell me you still skate.
I try.
Oh, awesome. So do I.
I may use those little, I don't know what they call them, those little push
little
things.
Bumper.
Oh, yes. Maybe sometimes, but I grew up skating on a lake and I grew up skating in a skating rink every Wednesday night. That's where we were.
Got to get you on roller skates again.
Right.
Skate City is awesome.
Skate City is awesome. We need to do more skate parties, though.
They have adult nights. You can have all the party you want.
See, I didn't know they had adult nights.
That
might be something
too.
That I might need to look into and bring.
We'll talk later.
Women veterans. We're a big key to doing stuff like that.
Awesome.
Skating in the park.
Tiona, do you roller skate?
Oh, yes, I do. Very much. Very much. Three pairs of skates.
Ooh,
I love skating. I also grew up skating every weekend in Chicago.
Maybe we need to do a skate to work day.
I would do that.
That would be pretty cool.
Wheel to work day.
A wheel to work day. There we go. We'll expand next year. We'll have a whole wheel section.
I want to see someone on a unicycle. That's the
highlight. That could happen. It already has, actually.
Awesome. Do you guys have any last comments? Anything else you want us to know about your podcast or anything to share before we keep moving on?
I would just say for all the podcasts, we'd love for you to get on, listen to us, and understand we are here to showcase wonderful things in our community. The next thing that's going on with Spotlight El Paso County is we're working with the Pikes Peak Diversity Council to put on an Everybody Welcome Imagination Celebration What If Festival August 1st at Colorado College at the Tava Quad. We're bringing it back after years. And we're going to be doing a huge cultural piece with it. And it's part of the America 250 Colorado 150 event for August 1st. So we're hoping we can have a podcast there.
Wonderful. If people want to learn more about that, is there a website or anything they can go to?
Yes, it's www.ppdiversitycouncilinc.org.
Awesome. Thank you both so much for taking
the
time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes,
great.
Do well in school.
I'll do my best.
All right. We have another guest here already. I have the pleasure of introducing Chelsea Gondek, who is the CEO of the Downtown Partnership and my boss. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. Have you been on a bike today?
I have not yet. I hope to get on one later, but I'm bouncing between things this morning. I know, don't give me the stink eye. I'm so sorry. I've participated in Bike to Work Day many years, just unfortunately not today.
I know when we scheduled you, you said you had to be someplace by about 7:45, so we're sneaking you in here before we send you off to the next appointment.
Yes.
And I was telling everyone that we did have a bike ride station right at the base of our office, so
we do.
A little bit later today, we'll have some chance to get rolling.
Exactly.
Awesome. We would love to hear a little bit about micromobility from the downtown perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just super excited to be here on Bike to Work Day because I really think it's about making biking to work much more accessible. And I think that's really at the heart of a lot of what we do for downtown, right? I know I've been on the podcast before and we've talked about, right, our plan of development, which really runs everything that we do downtown. And one of our five goals out of that entire plan is really about shaping our environment for humans. For downtown specifically, we really focus in on opportunities to make it more safe, more accessible for people to get not only around downtown, but into and out of downtown. Funny enough, I was just in a meeting last week where someone was saying something along the lines of, we need to invest more in our urban trail system, which 100% gonna agree, and that's part of what we do at downtown, but it just became apparent to me that they didn't realize the extent of like urban trails that we have coming into and out of downtown. I'd steal the saying that all roads lead to downtown, and I just think that events like today really make that more apparent for people who maybe don't realize the great assets that we have.
Speaking of assets, we heard there's a bacon station in downtown this morning.
Oh, okay. We got to report back. How quickly were they out of bacon this morning?
Who do we have to thank for that?
That was at the Olympic and Paralympic Museum, correct?
That would be Mountain Metro's breakfast station.
Okay. Yeah, probably.
Bringing home the bacon.
Yeah. Elaine probably handing out the bacon. Come here. Love to hear it. Love to hear that one's in downtown.
That's crack for cyclists.
You got to keep going, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
I did a gravel ride in Sheridan, Wyoming. Cheyenne. Which one is at the top
Sheridan.
Of Wyoming? Sheridan, Wyoming.
Cheyenne's at the bottom.
A couple years ago. And one of the stops on that ride was a PBR and bacon stop.
The PBR is the way to my heart there.
Yeah, right?
That would keep me going. I'm a vegetarian, so I'm really happy for the bacon for everybody else. But I'd be there for the PBR.
So Sheridan, just to put it in perspective, has a penny tax for their parks. We have a one-tenth tax for our parks.
Yeah, trust me, I actually sit on the Trails and Open Space Working Committee. I think it's a good balance to what I do of really spending my time on our urban core, and I think it speaks to why I just absolutely love Colorado Springs, as we can have the best of both worlds, right? We can have this incredible downtown with all the cultural amenities that you look for in an urban center, but at the same time, we invest in our outdoors, recognizing that they are such a huge draw to what brings people to our municipality. And yes, we do invest maybe a tenth of a penny, which some might say we could do more, but I think, to my earlier point, that we do take really good care, and we just have to amplify the story of all of these incredible trails that we have so that people realize, right, regardless of what part of town you're in, you can make it downtown on some of our trails and safely, right? And I think that's becoming a larger part of the conversation, is how do we make more people feel comfortable riding their bikes, right? So how do we invest in that infrastructure that makes people recognize that it is safe for me to get from my house and say north end of Colorado Springs all the way to downtown via trails that they feel like they and their kids can ride on.
Yes.
That just makes me so glad, Chelsea, that you have taken the reins of the Downtown Partnership. You bring such a great sensibility to it. So can we look forward next year to an asparagus breakfast station from the Downtown Partnership?
Maybe an egg bite. I don't know that I want just straight asparagus for breakfast.
How about a protein shake breakfast station?
Oh, we'll just be whipping up the protein shakes. Yeah. No, I love that.
We are a little obsessed with protein at the Downtown Partnership.
We do share all the ways that we're getting our protein these days so that we can bike and hike and use all our incredible trails.
And that is another super cool thing about working in downtown. Like you said, we're in the urban center. It is absolutely city, but you can walk or bike out of your front door from work, and all of a sudden you're enjoying America the Beautiful Park, which then has trails that go to every side of town. You can get down to Acacia Park. You can sit in the grass and under the trees. And I mean, we really do have it all, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's super exciting. I know I didn't bike to work today, but oftentimes my fiance and I will just hop on the trail system to both hit up the pickleball courts in Monument Valley Park, but also make it downtown for restaurants, shops, all of the great things that we have in our downtown. And with generally our beautiful weather in Colorado Springs, I'm sure many cyclists are glad for the cloud cover this morning.
It's sunny almost part of every day.
Yes.
Awesome. Chelsea, thanks for taking time between meetings to come and talk to us. Any last comments about Bike to Work Day, the Elevate Plan, and downtown in general?
I would just say downtown is for everyone. So to my earlier point, wherever you are in Colorado Springs, you can hop on a trail and come downtown, and we'll be glad to have you.
I got to put in a plug for FanFest. I'm a big fan of FanFest. And it has expanded, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's an incredible.
So good this time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope the rest of the day continues to be prolific. I know I've seen a ton of people in the small amount of time that I've been here.
Yeah.
And I want to mention that the Downtown Partnership is a valued content partner here with Studio 809 Podcast. So thanks for your partnership, and thanks for loaning Carrie to us.
Oh, always. More than glad.
All right.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chelsea.
So I just want to give another shout out. If you haven't had breakfast yet, or if you've had one breakfast and you need second breakfast, stop by us here at the Next Us. We're on the patio. Crumb and Kiln has supplied delicious jalapeno cheddar bagels, everything bagels, plain bagels, cream cheese. We've got Starbucks from the Austin Bluffs Parkway in front of COS City Hub. Thanks to Jessica Hanley for making that happen. Thanks to the Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort for supplying pancake batter, syrup, the griddle. Thanks to our volunteers who are out here today. We've got bananas, we've got grapes, even if you don't want carbs. I mean, we've got something for everyone. There is no reason you have to stick to one breakfast this morning. Stop by all the different stations, and we are still here for, let's see, another hour, 20 minutes. So come on down. The Next Us on Cascade.
I hear we've had over 50 visitors swing by here this morning.
That is awesome.
That's pretty darn good.
It is.
I had no idea. Since this is our first year doing it, maybe our last, we'll see. I had no idea what to expect. So we might need more food next year. Some asparagus.
Yeah. There are 16 podcasts under 809 Podcast.
Yeah.
And you're the guy that started all of these. So tell us, what's your motivation? What's your inspiration for doing all these podcasts?
All I do is hand them the mic. Some of them I have to help a little bit more than that.
I know you do more than that for me. So,
you know, I'll give you a really brief history. It started with a community radio station that we started up, a group of us here in town, a nonprofit community radio station back in around 2015. And the purpose of it was to fill a void that we felt like we had conservative talk radio, very well represented here in town. We had the Gazette, which has a editorial page, which is pretty conservative. Yeah. And we felt like we needed other voices. We needed more balance in the media. So we didn't set out necessarily to just create a progressive or a liberal media outlet, but we wanted to come up with some kind of a media outlet that was inclusive. Anybody, any voice could come to the microphone. And so we launched this station. We raised money and put up an antenna on the top of the dome at Stargazers.
Wow.
We had to actually get an experienced mountain climber to rappel down the dome to run the cable from the antenna down to the transmitter, and a studio at the Tim Gill Center, and volunteers started their own radio show, and we had all kinds of subjects. And we were a block away from the Indy. So I spent a lot of my time in Carrie's office trying to talk her and the Indy into having a radio show. I never was successful at that. But anyway, that was KCMJ. And KCMJ went away within a few years for a number of reasons. And one of them was that the radio business is challenging these days, and people like to listen to what they want to listen to when they want to listen to it. Podcasts are the future of radio. And so when a couple of our radio show hosts came to me and said, "Hey, Dave, will you help us start a podcast?" That was the beginning of Studio 809 Podcast. A couple of city councilors, Jill Gabler and Jan Martin, in the basement of my house.
Wow.
And slowly but surely, people left radio and came to Studio 809.
So what was the second? You obviously got the first, but then you branched off into more and became 16. What was the second podcast of 809 Podcast?
I think it was Gary Casimir and a couple of his cohorts. I've forgotten their names at the moment, but they had a show called Reality Check.
Okay.
Which was pretty decidedly liberal. I don't know if Gary Casimir, who's always been the gadfly, speaking up at city council meetings, and a little bit of a cranky old fart like me,
join the club.
So they were the second one, reality check. And it was then that I think I decided, what do we need? And what I thought we needed was an environmental podcast, because I, you know me, I'm a crazy environmentalist.
Yes.
I wake up every day thinking, what can I do to shrink my footprint? How can I be easier on the planet?
Because Dave, this is a pretty big footprint. You could have just been a guy with a mic,
yeah.
But cameras.
But we're supporting people riding their bikes instead of driving to work. And that
is great. I'm just saying, this is a pretty big footprint.
So this new model came up, which was, I came up with the Peak Environment podcast. I knew I was getting too busy to produce and host that on a regular basis. So I reached out to content partners, Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. At the time when we started it, we had Pikes Peak Group of Sierra Club and the Peak Environmental Forum. They were interested in podcasting as long as they didn't have to create a new episode every week or every two.
Mm-hmm.
So by joining this kind of collaborative effort, they just had to come up with a episode every month, maybe. And that made it possible. So Peak Environment today includes content from Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future, from 350 Colorado Springs, and Pikes Peak Permaculture, three environmental organizations create content for Peak Environment. But now we have, we've got Pikes Peak Women doing Elevating Pikes Peak Women, about women who are doing exemplary things in our community. Bursting through the glass ceiling, for sure. We've got Pedal of the Springs, about bicycling in Colorado Springs. The League of Women Voters does Making Democracy Work. Voter education, very important. We've got Outdoors with Hiking Bob was one of our first ones.
Speaking of Outdoors with Hiking Bob, he's here. Should we hear from him?
We should.
Hey, Bob. Hi. Come join us. Let's talk about your podcast.
While he's walking up here, Jack and Jill rode a tandem bike up the hill. Man, that was a tough climb, said Jill. Jack answered, yeah, good job. Lucky I kept the brakes on, or we would have rolled all the way back down.
Said no one on a tandem ever.
Oh, my. Is that what we're doing today, dad jokes?
That's your invitation. Have you got one for us, Bob?
Oh, I have so many, but I refuse to do them on the air.
Smarter man than me.
Coming up on 10 years... for the Outdoors Hiking Bob podcast. No. August 1st will be 10 years.
No way.
Absolutely.
So you're 10 years, Colorado's 150 years, and America's 250 years, all on August 1st.
There's some kind of symmetry there of some
type. There is.
Next week's episode will be 475.
Wow.
Started off as a, what was I doing? I was doing it weekly and did that for many years. And I got to be a little bit of a grind. And not wanting to sacrifice quality for quantity, I scaled that back a little bit ago to twice a month, and that seems to have worked out really well. I think the quality of the podcast is a little better because we're not trying to just force something to make a weekly podcast, and it's expanded quite a bit. Dave, I appreciate that I met up with you, and I had thought about doing a radio show, but the idea was I didn't want to do a radio show, I wanted to do a podcast, and at the time, radio was how you did a podcast, and then you came and said, we're just going to do podcasting. And I'm like, I have no idea what I'll talk about. But in this community, besides biking, obviously being a major driver for outdoor recreation, hiking is also, and that's my forte. I have a bike at home, still hanging off my ceiling in the garage, has been there for a while. I need to take it down to see if it still works. But there's no shortage of outdoor recreation opportunities. And I've had a lot of cycling people on the show. Alan Beauchamp been on the show a number of times, and we've talked a lot. Medicine Wheel Trail Advocates, all those groups have been on there because they are an integral part of the outdoor recreation community, and what they do impacts hiking and other outdoor recreation.
So what's the benefit of listening? What do you get from the podcast?
I sometimes bring in book authors who write about travel experiences or survival or nutrition. So I bring in information like that. And then sometimes it's me and my co-host, Wild Wessendorf, and we talk about more local topics about where to go hiking in the local area. Like next week, we're going to talk about the impact of the storm in North Cheyenne Canyon and what's that affecting and how bad that is, because he's been up there and the effect of that. I've been on the County Parks Advisory Board, the TOPS Working Committee, friends groups. I can give some insight in why funding is a challenge. And sometimes I take our elected officials, some of whom have been here today, to task for how our parks are funded. And my insight in that and my background, and I've lived here for 35 years, I've seen a lot of growth in this community. So I can give some background on that. A lot of people are new here. We have a lot of turnover in population. So there's a lot of people who've only been here a few years may not recognize like why Bear Creek is closed because of a trout that wasn't supposed to be there to begin with. But they don't understand that because they haven't been here going back 10 or 12 years when that was closed. They don't understand why.
So this is a slightly different subject, mm-hmm. but similar. And you're the perfect guy to ask.
Okay.
Boulder right now is struggling with bicyclists using the trails and hikers using the trails. And they're trying to come up with a system to share the trails. We have that issue here, and I don't think we have the concentration of people that Boulder has, so people can spread out some more. But what I'm seeing is we're building more flowy trails for bicycles, which is great. I'm a cyclist. I love it. But I also hike. And flowy trails mean that you're going to go faster.
Right.
And if you're on Strava, which many people are, you're encouraged to go faster and faster each time you ride it, which is a serious conflict if you're trying to hike the trails. So what's the right approach? What do we do to share the trail when we know those things are going on?
What I've seen over the years was there was a reputation some years ago that cyclists were inconsiderate of hikers, that they were bombing past people and putting them in danger. A couple of things have happened. Number one, the cycling community has really stepped up and educated their community about trail etiquette and being more aware of it. I've seen a definite improvement in the cyclists and how they interact with the hikers, and I think that goes both ways. I've also seen the city and the county work on making some trails cycling only, some trails hiking only. We have that in North Cheyenne Canyon Park, where the Schuch Trail has now been cycling only, and they built a trail next to it for hikers. In Ute Valley Park, we have trails that are only for cyclists. We're seeing a trail in Blodgett Open Space in the works of becoming a hiker-only trail because it's a little challenging. It's narrow. It's a lot of downhill. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't want cyclists and hikers on the same trail there because it's a bit of a thing, so they're going to make that one into a hiker-only trail. Boulder's approach is alternating days.
Right.
And Jefferson County has actually been doing that for a while. Some trails are hikers only on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, for example, and cyclists the other days. That works, but the problem is now you're forced to fit that into your schedule, and that doesn't always work for everybody. It's timed entry permits into parks, which I hate, but I also understand why they're there, because you have to manage traffic.
Or parking.
And that's an approach. Boulder is a tight community, like you said. Here we have a lot of room to spread out. So we have that luxury. We may not have to go the route that Boulder is doing because we have a lot of room. One of the things I also do for hikers, and I'm working on that with my column at the Pikes Peak Bulletin all summer, is I'm encouraging them to take a drive. Instead of going 10 minutes from your house for a hike that you hike the same trail all the time, do a day hike where it's going to be 2 hours of driving and you're going to spend a day at another park and you're going to hike over there and get out of town and decrease the impact you're having locally. And cyclists should do the same thing.
That's a great answer. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, everybody. So it's been a great run. Like I said, 10 years, August 1st will be 10 years, I believe. I'm trying to think of something special to do, but I'm not that creative, so I don't know what I'm going to do for that. But
maybe something live. It's a piece of cake. It wasn't any work. Didn't have to get up at 4 a.m.
Something live at 6 a.m.
No, that's way ahead of my wake-up time.
But just listening to you answer Al's great questions reminds me just what an amazing resource you are.
Thanks.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I've been here a long time, and I've learned a lot by just watching the city grow as I was here. When I first moved here, 250,000 people in Colorado Springs. Now we're at 500,000. I've watched it grow, and I slowly got involved. I didn't believe in, I just got here, I'm going to rush in and tell you everything that's wrong with your city and make it better. I don't believe in that approach. I think you should be in a community a while. But as I watched it, then I participated in friends groups and boards and got a deeper understanding of how things work. I think that's how I got this insight. And when Al asked me a question like that, I said, I've studied that because those things that Boulder and Jeffco are doing are impacting what we're doing here. And maybe there are other ideas that we can pull from different places.
Right. So where did you come from?
New Jersey.
What part of New Jersey?
Southern New Jersey, near Atlantic City.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm from the Bronx, so I kind of picked up on your Northeast accent.
Most people don't pick up on it, except people from back there will pick up on the accent. But yes. Most people, I pride myself in being almost Midwestern accent.
It is pretty neutral, but I think he's from the Northeast.
The word that trips people up is water.
Water.
When I say water, people water. Are like, you're from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Listen, thanks, Bob. Outdoors with Hiking Bob is podcast to search for.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for being an icon in the community.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Al.
And thanks for your help this morning, too. We've got some surprise guests that were riding by who would like to join us. Thanks to our stage manager, Kate Brady, for organizing that. This is a surprise guest, so I'm going to have to make you introduce yourself. I understand it has something to do with the French kitchen, though. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm guessing by the jersey. Yeah. Yeah.
You had a whole crew.
Yeah, we have a few people cruising around every back-to-work day. And we have gift cards in our pockets. And for those who say bonjour French kitchen, they get a $10 gift card.
I don't think that's a Brooklyn accent.
No.
I'm thinking the accent is perfect for that jersey, though.
It's not fake.
So tell us a little bit about your ride, why you're riding, and then eventually let's get to the French kitchen too.
We love to ride in the city and outside of the city. So back to work day, we have to do it every year. That's a thing. So we start from the west side and we try to hit a lot of breakfast stations, say hi to everyone and wear the jerseys. And we even have a station there at the City Hall with some scones and ham and butter sandwiches.
This morning?
Yeah, this morning. Yeah.
Wow.
I have a lot of staff.
I got to get on my bike and run down there for
Exactly,
do you have souffle?
No, we have a walnut and maple scones and ham and butter sandwiches.
Wow.
My baker is riding. He's just there.
You had to come to the U.S. to bicycle because bicycling in France just sucks.
No. Actually, it changed my life a bit because in France, I was riding everywhere. I only got my first car when I was, 24 years old.
A deux chevaux?
Yeah, everything was by bike. I had a city bike and I had my skis on my bike when I went skiing. I had my groceries in the backpack. So everything was by bike, but the city where I was at was pretty flat. So that was okay. And then I moved to Colorado Springs.
Not flat.
With three kids that I had to put on the trailer. And it was really hard. So yeah, I biked less moving here. But then I met my boyfriend about 6 years ago and he's quite a cyclist. And so I had my city bike from France and I was trying to follow him. At the first ride, I was like, I'm in trouble. And COVID hit and I was like, it's time to get my good bike. And I got a road e-bike so nice. I could keep up with him. And that's when I really started to road bike. And we went to France. We did more than 1,000 kilometers in France from the Alps to the Mediterranean. We biked in Slovenia. I biked in Spain. Next is New Zealand, and now I even got a regular road bike. So
tell us a little bit about the French kitchen, please.
Yeah, so the French kitchen, we just celebrated 9 years. We are a bakery, we have a cafe, we have a frozen market where people can get some meals to take home, and we also teach cooking classes. So it's a lot of things in one place, everything from scratch.
No butter.
European style butter, that's really good. French flour, we really watch what we put in our food. So, yeah, we are Flint Ridge and Academy across from the Little Nepal restaurant, restaurant there.
So, Carlos Perez, if you're listening, we're branching out. We're not just talking to people downtown.
So I got to say, my first mountain bike, 1984, was a Peugeot, which is French.
A Peugeot, yeah.
Yes.
I had a folding Peugeot as a kid,
yes.
A folding bike.
I love that bike. It was the first mountain bike I had.
Nice. I got a Lapierre after. That's the one I brought to the U.S. I still have it, but now it's so old.
But you can't give it away. My first bike that I bought as an adult, it was a blue roadie. And once I replaced it, I just haven't been able to get rid of it. And I'm like, it's not worth any money to anyone else, but I have sentimental attachment to it. So even though it sits in the garage with flat tires, I just can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it's my. It has got two baskets, got my little bee bell. It had a lot of things to do city biking.
So back to the bakery. A lot of Americans can go to Europe, Americans that are gluten sensitive, but they can eat the breads and pastries in Europe. So can you do that at your bakery?
Yep, because we...
Okay, people need to know that.
We have a lot of people who come to us. In February this year, we switched to 100% French flours.
Wow.
So everything we do is with that French flour. And we have a lot of people who say, I'm gluten sensitive, can't eat anything in the U.S., but thank you for doing that. And we even sell that flour.
That's great to know, because there's many people that are gluten sensitive and becoming more so. That is fantastic to know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, thanks for asking about that. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. That's great.
That's a big thing, yeah.
Yeah, super. All right, the French Kitchen. I'm coming.
Yeah, I think, and we are off a bike lane path, because if you go up Flint Ridge, we're on the right, then you can keep going up Flint Ridge or you go down Flint Ridge. So bike lane up to the path of Union. It's pretty easy. That's the one I use quite often.
Wow. Great. So how many miles today are you going to put in on the bike?
I don't know where we are.
You probably had to drive down.
I'm on Strava if you want to follow me. 19 miles so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you for bicycling.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You may have the record so far.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Be safe. And we're ready for our next guest.
Look at this crowd. This is something else.
Hey, Dave Bryan.
Hey,
good to see
Dave.
You. Felipe Lopez, Mobility Director for Manitou Springs?
Yes, thank you for having me, Dave. Yeah, Felipe Lopez, Director of Mobility Parking for the City of Manitou.
What does that all involve, that mobility job of yours?
It's mainly providing access for everybody out there in the community, tourists, business, and that's through parking and through the mobility portion of it. The mobility component comes into the last 100 feet for everybody's destination out there. And so as a small community with less than 5,000 people and so many tourists coming in and out, we have to make sure that there's access for everybody out there.
So are you the guy everybody complains to about the parking?
I try not to be, but I always make myself available.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but your job is to get people parked and out of their cars as soon as possible and then make it easy and fun to leave your car behind.
Absolutely. And complete their experience in our town. Yes.
So what's happening with the Emma Crawford coffin race? I hear they're going to mess with that.
I'm not particularly sure what exactly is going to happen in the end. I do know that there's a little bit of more awareness on security, but other than that, I think it's still a go. I mean, it's a very popular...
It is. I heard that there's concerns about it, which makes me concerned.
So even the coffins have wheels in Manitou.
That's right, and they're fast.
And had for a while.
Do you have some talking points for today? Since you're a government official, you probably had in mind a few things you'd like to share.
No, not in particular. I mean, we can keep it free-flowing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
We'll put Al in charge. I'll try to back out of the way because Al has the questions.
There's a bus, and the bus is free, right?
It is. It's actually zero fare. We changed that because it is a cost that's incurred by the community.
Interesting.
So
okay.
The city does pay. Our mobility and parking department does subsidize that ride on the 33 bus and on the 3 ride.
So there's two buses.
Two buses, wow. Yes. One that connects downtown Colorado Springs, El Corral City, and Manitou, which is the number 3, and then the 33 that provides that loop that goes all the way up to the incline down through all
right,
of our
stops.
Right,
that's the one I was aware of. I didn't realize the other one. That's a reason to go to Manitou.
That one's new within the last couple months of...
April.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go Manitou, around Manitou, then Manitou to downtown, and then you can jump on the Zeb downtown, zero fare for a big chunk of our central Colorado and Manitou Springs.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
And I highly encourage everybody to take that trip. It's great.
Yeah.
That is just so progressive and so awesome. And that basically means you don't need to drive to Manitou anymore.
No.
You can get on your bicycle. And if you don't want to bike to Manitou, there are these other places you can bike to.
And you can put your bike on the bus.
I was hoping you'd mention that.
So that's great. I have to take it. I haven't taken it. I usually bike to Manitou, but that's an easy option. And if it rains in the afternoon, it's nice to have an option to get back.
Yeah, and we also have the bike ride system connected in our town. We also subsidize that, and so we have that transport available for everybody that needs that.
And is there one station?
There's 10.
10?
Yes. Every parking lot has one, and around town, the library and different locations have that as well.
That's awesome, because when it started, there were only two. One was by the pool, and the other one was in the parking lot of the hotel where Lulu's was originally. I can't remember the name of that hotel. So that's awesome. It's up to 10 stations in Manitou.
Yes.
Wow.
There's a reason to listen to this podcast. I'm learning all sorts of things.
Now, let's see. One of the biggest challenges in mobility is if you want to do the incline.
Yes.
It's been a challenge to deal with the traffic and the parking because you have to wind up through a neighborhood. And Maybe you can share with us a little bit now. If you want to hike the incline, what are the best ways to get there?
Does anyone really want to hike the incline? Or are they forced to do it because it's like a bucket list thing?
Actually, my son and I just took the 33 from the Dillon Mobility Hub, which just opened last year. And there's about 96 spaces there to support the infrastructure and park and go up to the incline through the 33. So we took the bus up there, and it's pretty expeditious. It gets there in less than 10 minutes on a good day. And it is running every 10 minutes on the weekends and every 15 minutes during the weekdays. Right now, that's probably the best bet to go there. The first 2 hours are free to park at Dillon.
To park at Dillon?
Yes.
And how early does the bus start running?
6 o'clock.
Not
yes.
bad.
Let's see, 15 minutes to get there, 15 minutes to get back, and an hour to go up and down? I don't think so.
If you're pretty good, an hour. I probably took about 2 hours to go up and down with myself.
Yeah, an hour is really impressive.
So that doesn't count the time waiting for the paramedics to reach you, defibrillate you.
You still got to get down.
Now, so Dillon's not the one that's under construction. One of your mobility hubs is under construction right now, right?
Yeah. The Hiawatha Gardens Mobility Hub will be having a soft opening here after July 4th.
Okay.
And so that will provide another additional 90-plus stalls out there closer to the downtown core of Manitou Springs. And yeah, that's coming.
And that'll be another place you can pick up the bus to go up to.
Absolutely.
And that's instead of trying to park at the trailhead. What happens if you're determined to park up there?
If you're determined to park there, you have two options. You can either do the reservation system. We have 10 stalls up there on bar, and so you can reserve in advance and park. And if you're going up the mountain, you can reserve that up to 3 days.
And that's $250 a day to park there?
Yes, that is correct.
They would probably be willing to pay it.
That's during the winter. No, we have a fee schedule for that, but we do have accommodations for less than the full day for that on the reservation if you want to make certain that you can have that. And you can reserve in advance. Also, we have 30 other stalls up there that are a daily fare. So those are about $20 a day. So if you're lucky enough to get a parking spot up there, then that's the way to go.
Yeah, but boy, what a waste to drive all the way up there just to find out you can't. And then you could have just parked at Dillon or
Correct.
Hiawatha to begin with.
Correct. Hopefully it's a one-time lesson for everybody.
I spent my first 18 or so years living in Manitou, and I actually lived on Ruxton right across from the Iron Spring. And so I often had friends who would come and park at my place because it was just a couple block walk up to either the incline or bar trail, and definitely lucked out as far as access to all that stuff when I first lived here.
Boy, I would have loved to be your friend back then.
How's the Penny Arcade these days? Have you been lately?
Yes, I have. We just installed a kiosk in town, and we actually installed one on the back of the arcade. We installed 16 kiosks back in May, and these are sprinkled throughout the downtown area out there. But yeah, I haven't put a coin in there, but looking forward for it.
So your kiosks, these are to pay for parking on the street?
Yes, and you can put coins on those as well, just like the arcade.
Wow.
Probably not pennies, though, right?
No, not pennies.
I don't think much at the Penny Arcade takes pennies anymore either.
Soon meters will be just a thing of the past, too. There's other ways of collecting the money from you.
Yeah. If you have to park in Manitou, it's a joy because you can get it to send a text to your phone when your parking's about to expire and ask you if you want to extend it. That's pretty sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks for that, Felipe. Felipe Lopez, Mobility Director for the City of Manitou Springs. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for keeping us moving.
All right, moving right along. I think I see some recent guests from the Loving the Springs podcast.
Yes.
And they arrived on bikes.
Yeah, Joe Cole and Sarah Gabo Cole.
Hi, Joe. I missed you the last time you came.
Oh, that's right.
Interview.
I think you were gone, right?
I was gone.
Okay.
But I have been to Poor Richard's.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good.
We invited Joe and Sarah to come back because they were so much fun on a recent episode of Loving the Springs. That story that you guys ended with was such an awesome story. If you haven't listened to that episode of Loving the Springs, you've got to go listen and stick with it all the way to the end, to the sort of spooky, amazing story about why, without that, they might not be the new owners of Poor Richard's.
It's so true. And Dave, we've had several folks come up and actually comment about hearing that story on your podcast. So that was really cool.
To put the sign in Poor Richard's now. So we're going to bring the sign in and have it framed.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to retell that story today because we got new things to say.
Yes.
But I can see from your bicycle helmet that you're on two wheels today.
I can get off.
No. Okay. So you guys just are swinging by on your way to work?
But yeah, we're going to work for a little while, and then we'll go home, and then we'll come back.
Yeah, we got to go work tonight. We're doing trivia night.
Ah, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so if you don't know what Poor Richards is, we can give people the Reader's Digest condensed version here. Otherwise, they need to just go listen to that last episode. What the heck is Poor Richards downtown?
It's the living room of Colorado Springs. Pizza, toys, wine, coffee, books, and gifts.
And community, more importantly.
Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah, it's like the new mall. It's a mall where everything's within, what, 200 feet of each other.
Yeah.
And we're way cooler than the malls in the 80s.
So yes. Much cooler. Yeah.
And the only toy store with a liquor license in the United States.
All toy stores should consider that. Sure, Jill.
Hey, Jill Gabler, another celebrity.
Good to see you, Jill.
Jill was co-host of the very first Studio 809
podcast. Thank you.
Okay.
It's yeah. Timely.
She and Jan Martin were the first podcasters at Studio 809.
Right on.
What are you guys doing?
We're doing a live stream.
Oh!
There's the camera, Jill. Right there.
That's on, the beauty of live.
You're on CNN
your
right
best,
now.
Your best side is there.
You can come around here and look
ride
and
bikes.
See. Are you on your bike?
Bike ride.
Good job. Jill Gabler, former Colorado Springs City Councilor. And let's see, she's running the Pikes Peak Housing Network.
So back to Poor Richards.
Yeah. I was just in there yesterday. I'm in there, you'll soon discover, all the time because you're just two blocks away. So I had one of my many meetings there yesterday, ran into Sarah.
Yeah.
And I think you had kids in tow, didn't you?
We did have, yes.
And it's a great place to take the kids when they need a good shot of alcohol.
Didn't give them any alcohol, but...
Take the kids for the bookstore, not the alcohol. And I had a slice of pizza.
There's a section of Poor Richards back in the pizza, in the very back of the restaurant. There is a play area. And for anybody that's come to Poor Richards over the years, that play area, they've watched that change over the years. We're actually going to bring it back to what it used to be, where it had a slide and a ramp.
Yeah.
And so we're in the process of planning that right now, and we're going to update that section.
Yeah, and Linda Wise is going to do a music group with the Littles back there. And we have a lady coming in who's going to do a talk, a book talk that she wrote on the Love Project. So we're doing a lot more book-type, bookish things. And
so you've got that little stage in Rico's, which is really cool. So there's something happening there, what, almost every day?
Yeah, we have trivia Mondays, Wednesdays. We have open mic night on Tuesdays, and then we start the music Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And the only night that stage is empty is Sunday nights.
Yep, and we might fill it with something. If you have any ideas.
And let's see, you've got pretty good bike racks out front.
We do, and those are compliments of Old Town.
Yeah.
John Crandall.
Yes.
He brought those down. Him
we
and Richard are good friends. And he said, Richard, I'm not going to let you pay for these, but here's a bike rack.
Just competition for Tony's. Ted's Bicycle. Tony was the owner of Ted's Bicycle.
Yes.
So how is business? I mean, you're in this for a few weeks now.
It's going well.
It's been a few months, actually.
Yeah, 3 months.
Wow.
On the first
time,
of
time
July.
Flies.
Yeah.
Sales are actually doing well.
Yeah.
So we've seen a little bit of this. And wow. In the business world, we love this.
That's great.
You know what? I hate to say it, but I am responsible for that. It's all me.
Thank you. We very much appreciate you.
Kelly puts some pretty good greeting cards out there.
Yes, she does. And she's so amazing.
And when I buy greeting cards, your sales go up.
And I was shocked. I mean, they're way more affordable than going to the grocery store. Hallmark charges way more than we do. Oh, yeah.
If you say so.
Yeah. Okay. Go to King Soopers or Safeway, get a card. It's $7.
Oh, my God. I thought I was paying a premium because your cards are so much better.
No.
Okay.
No, you're actually saving money.
Oh, and they are so much more creative. Best cards in town. It used to be the car wash had pretty good cards.
Oh.
But it closed.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I knew it closed, but...
Tell me about the car wash.
On Nevada?
Yeah, the car wash on Nevada. In fact,
car
I used
works.
To go there just for cards.
Wow.
They said, aren't you going to pay for your car wash? And I'd say, no, I didn't get the car washed. Just here for the cards.
I wow. missed that one.
I didn't know this.
They're gone now, so Poor Richards is the only place in town for
Because nobody knew they were selling cards.
All right, you've got a lot of places to go. Anything else that you would like to share?
No, thanks for having us. This is great that you guys are doing this. It's so cool to see all the people out riding bikes this morning. We were noticing an awful lot of commuters out there.
Yes, it's very cool. A lot of people out.
Sarah, one of the things that I want to highlight every chance I get is the fact that bicycles and motorized vehicles are sharing the road, and we want more people on their bicycles because that's less traffic congestion, less ozone issues, less carbon emissions, and healthier, happier people.
100%.
But we can always improve the safety for both motorists and bicyclists.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you have personal experience with what can go wrong.
Yes. Well, I guess just knowing kind of if you're starting riding and you're going to be using the road for access, because you do need to if you're commuting, you're going to be happier. But you got to watch for cars. You got to know that if there's any rain or any precipitation, the paint and the oils on the road will get slippery. So you got to be careful with stopping, turning.
Yeah.
Watch for cars because they're not watching for you most of the time, especially with cell phones and... It's kind of scary out there nowadays as far as that goes, but it's doable. And Colorado Springs is trying to be very bike friendly. They have maps you can go look up for how to connect different trails or different streets if you want to ride to work. So it's a good town for it. Just be aware of what you're doing and wear bright colors and maybe stay away from the night riding or have lights.
Yep, all good advice. And bicyclists have laws they should follow.
Yes.
All of the laws, the same laws.
Yeah, except they get a little bit of a special treatment at
stop signs
and traffic lights.
Yeah.
You want to share about that, Al, real quick?
Sure. We can use a stop sign as a yield sign, and we can use a red light as a stop sign.
Bicycles.
Yeah, that's right. Cyclists. The problem with that is cyclists also drive. And they forget that they're driving. And they do the same things in their cars.
Yeah.
I've been tempted.
Probably stay consistent. You're allowed to, but, you know,
as a cyclist, you
may not want to.
Understanding the mentality of other cyclists who drive, they're very dangerous because you get into a habit and you stop stopping for stop signs. And I've seen people go at a red light. They stop and then they go.
My goodness. And one thing, we bicyclists, we want motorists to share the road, respect our rights, keep us safe, stay out of the bike lanes. And if we want motorists to be civil to us, we're ambassadors for bicycles.
100%.
Yeah, we really need to. I go out of my way to not tick off the motorists. If there's some way I can keep from slowing them down, I'm going to ride as far to the right as I can.
And it's the same with hikers on trails, right? Treat everyone with respect, slow down.
Yeah.
There's a study that's recently out that says the new pickup trucks that are much larger than old pickup trucks with higher front ends are killing people. They're killing pedestrians, and they're killing cyclists. And they're killing a lot of them, like double what we used to kill with the other cars we had. So things are getting seriously more dangerous than they have been.
If you get hit by one of these big pickup trucks, you're not going to fly up onto the hood.
You're going to go under.
You're going to get run over. And that doesn't usually go well.
No.
A very fascinating study that they did about that.
It's reality, and we have a lot of large pickup trucks for whatever reason. If you're in the Army, it's almost mandatory that you buy a large pickup truck as soon as you can.
We looked up a stat one time, didn't we, Joe, that the most popular car in Colorado, yes, there's a Subaru, but also a F-150
pickup truck has been the number one selling car in America for the past 20 years. It's not just Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rural America lives on quad cab pickup trucks.
Yeah.
It's when you...
Midwest.
When you want to have that presence and you get the trailer towing mirrors when you're not towing anything... Mm-hmm. So that you take up a lot of room. So we have a 3-foot following law. It's not from the center of the truck to the center of the person on the bicycle. It is 3 feet from the furthest edge of your right-hand mirror to the furthest edge of the person, which is usually their shoulder.
And how's that possible if it's taking up the whole lane?
Exactly.
And Sarah, you're going to find this interesting. This study, they talked about blind spots because those are contributing to the rise in pedestrian deaths lately. These bigger, heavier pickup trucks with the big mirrors, because they're a heavier truck, they've got the A-pillar, which is the column to the left of the windshield that holds the roof up, has to be wider in order for the driver not to get crushed in a rollover. And that creates, between that and the mirror, a huge blind spot where the truck driver can't even see a pedestrian or a bicyclist crossing the street.
I believe that because I got hit by a truck turning right into the collision center on Tejon down by I-25, and it passed me and then turned right into me.
Yeah. So we bicyclists, we can't take for granted that the walk light is a go automatically. We got to watch for the cars. And we motorists, we need to, I'm really working hard to train myself to really look hard for bicyclists and pedestrians before I turn left or right.
Yeah. Thanks for coming and
yeah, thanks for
being
having
part
us.
Of this.
Of course.
And we'll
Wonderful.
See you. We'll
yeah.
see you when you're actually there.
Thanks
working.
For having yeah. us. Come
yeah.
on down.
Yeah.
All right. And come back anytime you want the mic. We love you guys.
Thank you.
I want to quickly thank the sponsors who helped us feed over 100 cyclists who stopped by our breakfast station. Crumb and Kiln, a cottage foods business based in Colorado Springs, featuring chocolates, baked goods, pantry items, snacks, ceramics, art, and more. At 2140 Cooper Avenue, just west of I-25 and north of Centennial. Starbucks in front of COS City Hub on Austin Bluffs Parkway, just east of Academy. Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future, a nonprofit organization that strives to promote regional sustainability in the Pikes Peak region and to advance the regional sustainability plan called Looking to Our Future, Pikes Peak Region 2030. Buffalo Lodge Bicycle Resort, the historic bicycle-themed Motor Lodge Motel run by Tori Giffen, host of our Pedal the Springs podcast. And I want to thank The Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs, for the great patio and support.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.